Chapter 59. Morning came, and the little cottage was lonely and still. People spoke in whispers. Anxious faces appeared at the gate. From time to time, women and children went away in tears. All the livelong day, and for hours after it had grown dark, Oliver paced softly up and down the garden, raising his eyes every instant to the sick chamber, and shuddering to see the darkened window, looking as if death lay stretched inside. Late that night, Mr. Losburn arrived. "It is hard," said the good doctor, turning away as he spoke. "So young, so much beloved, but there is very little hope." Another morning. The sun shone brightly as if it looked upon no misery or care, and, with every leaf and flower in full bloom about her, with life, and health, and sounds and sights of joy, surrounding her on every side. The fair young creature lay, wasting fast. Oliver crept away to the old churchyard, and sitting down on one of the green mounds, wept and prayed for her, in silence. There was such peace and beauty in the scene. So much of brightness and mirth in the sunny landscape, such blithesome music in the songs of the summer birds, such freedom in the rapid flight of the rook, careering overhead, so much of life and joyousness in all, that, when the boy raised his aching eyes, and looked about, the thought instinctively occurred to him, that this was not a time for death, that Rose could surely never die when humbler things were all so glad and gay. That graves were for cold and cheerless winter, not for sunlight and fragrance. He almost thought that shrouds were for the old and shrunken, and that they never wrapped the young and graceful form in their ghastly folds. A knell from the church bell broke harshly on these youthful thoughts. Another. Again. It was tolling for the funeral service. A group of humble mourners entered the gate, wearing white favors, for the corpse was young. They stood uncovered by a grave, and there was a mother once among the weeping train. But the sun shone brightly, and the birds sang on. Oliver turned homeward, thinking on the many kindnesses he had received from the young lady, and wishing that the time could come again, that he might never cease showing her how grateful and attached he was. He had no cause for self-reproach on the score of neglect, or want of thought, for he had been devoted to her service, and yet 100 little occasions rose up before him, on which he fancied he might have been more zealous, and more earnest, and wished he had been. We need be careful how we deal with those about us, when every death carries to some small circle of survivors, thoughts of so much omitted, and so little done of, so many things forgotten, and so many more which might have been repaired. There is no remorse so deep as that which is unavailing. If we would be spared its tortures, let us remember this, in time. When he reached home, Mrs. Maley was sitting in the little parlor. Oliver's heart sank at sight of her, for she had never left the bedside of her niece, and he trembled to think what change could have driven her away. He learnt that she had fallen into a deep sleep, from which she would waken, either to recovery and life, or to bid them farewell, and die. They sat, listening, and afraid to speak, for hours. The untasted meal was removed, with looks which showed that their thoughts were elsewhere. They watched the sun as he sank lower and lower, and, at length, cast over sky and earth those brilliant hues which herald his departure. Their quick ears caught the sound of an approaching footstep. They both involuntarily darted to the door, as Mr. Losburn entered. "What of Rose?" cried the old lady. "Tell me at once. I can bear it, anything but suspense. Oh, tell me. In the name of heaven. You must compose yourself," said the doctor, supporting her. "Be calm, my dear ma'am, pray. Let me go, in God's name. My dear child. She is dead. She is dying. No. Cried the doctor, passionately. As he is good and merciful, she will live to bless us all, for years to come." The lady fell upon her knees, and tried to fold her hands together. But the energy which had supported her so long, fled up to heaven with her first thanksgiving, and she sank into the friendly arms which were extended to receive her. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.